part of this message. If you want to hear the rest of it, come back next week. And I'll be brief. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1, and I'm going to read from the New King James Version. It reads like this. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Lord, we have had an amazing time up to this point, God. Everything we've done has been important. Everything we've done has been phenomenal. God, the music, the giving, we promoted the world vision of our ministry. And Lord, I just pray for these next few moments that you give me the grace and the anointing, a fresh anointing, God, to speak into the lives of your people. I pray, oh God, that even those who are here new today, God, would, Father, hear from heaven. And Lord, you would give them, my God, hope for their future. I pray, oh God, that you would lift us to a place, my God, where we begin to see a little differently. We begin to perceive a little differently, Lord. And we pray, God, even today, Father, that you would just speak to every heart. I pray for a special anointing here this morning, Father, upon my lips as I speak and as you use me today. I pray in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen. You can be seated. To everything there is a season and a time. I know you hear this and we hear these words like you're walking into a new season. But I want you to know that today when you walked into this building, I don't care how much you know, I don't care how much, how long you've been serving the Lord or how much word you know or how much you pray, you may not perceive that God is taking you, today's the day where God is taking you into a new season. You know, seasons change just like that. You can, you know, it seems like they're gradual, but it's like one day everything's green. And see, in just a couple of months, though, all the green trees you see around Albuquerque, you know, they'll turn orange, they'll fall off, and they'll look dead. And they'll be like that for 3, 4, 5 months. And then around March and April, they'll start budding out again. And we'll get a little snow in December. And then it'll rain in April a little bit. And then summer will come again. And everything will turn green again. And the grass will turn green. And that's the way God, when God created the world and he created us, he created seasons. He did it for a reason. And I want you to know that it is a parallel to our lives, because it is not just what we see outside in the creation of what he changes in season, but he uses seasons in our lives. And there's a new season coming to your life. I believe that our founders, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, they operate in the seasons of life. They know how to tell the seasons, and that's how they direct us and where we're going, because they sense the season, they perceive it, they look into it, and then from that point on, they guide the ministry in the direction of the season that we're in. And then, and I believe that you as an individual have to tap into that, because when God says, I'm going to put you into a new season, you have to be ready for some things. See, you got to be ready for a new song that God puts in your heart. Those were old songs we sang, but God's putting a new song in your heart. Did you notice how there was a new song in it and the old? Come on, somebody. He's able to change what used to be and put something into what needs to be. Come on. See, he's pouring out something fresh upon you in this season. This is not like any other season you've been in, because, see, we hear things like God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. And your mind, you think, okay, I hear it say that God wants to bless me, but I don't see the blessing. And see, when you understand the season you're in, you have to just wait for the right season for God to bless you. You don't plant something in April and by May it's already there. You need to wait. If you know anything about sowing seed, if you know anything about planting and reaping, you need to know that there's a process that takes place in the harvest that comes to you. See? And what you possess inside of you, some of you, if you could just see what was inside of you, you'd start to think differently. You'd get that latte of depression, that latte of negativity, and all the stuff you've been drinking every day, and you'd get rid of it. Because you know, if you could look inside, if you could perceive what God has put inside of you, what's inside of you is so explosive. It's so powerful, but you are relying on yesterday's stuff. You are relying on what happened to you way back when. And God is saying enough is enough with wondering about what happened to you. It's time to look forward to what God has for you. See, a lot of people can see with their eyes, but they can't see very well. You know, there can be a lot in front of you, but all you see is a fraction of what's in front of you. See, expectation keeps you looking. In Ecclesiastes, here in the chapter, in the third chapter, the list goes on and talks about all the things. It says there's time for everything. So there's a season for everything. And it goes down a long list of all the things. There's a time to be born and a time to die and a time for peace, a time for war. And all these things, it continues to go down the list. I'm not going to read them today. But I want you to know that there is a purpose for your season. The season you've been in, there's been a purpose. You wouldn't be able to walk into the new season you're going into now having not been through the season that you've been in. You've got to get this in your spirit. You see, a lot of people, when there's no expectation in your life, when you don't have any expectation, you can't see what is good coming to you. You can't see what's about to happen. All you see is what happened. And you nestle right there and you stay right there. And all it does is just keep you right there. But when you walk with expectation, your head's up. And you can see a little different. You can see a little further. You can see a little closer. You know, you can see far and still not see close. And you can see close and not see far. And God is saying today that this new season, God wants to show you what's inside of you because there's more inside of you than you can see. You have to train your eyes to see. You know, everybody knows I'm a hunter. When I first started hunting, I really didn't know what I was doing at all. In fact, when I got this big old trophy deer, I was like, I didn't even know what I was doing. I was with a bunch of good hunters, and they tagged me along, and I happened to be the one that got this big trophy. And from that point on, everybody thought I was this great hunter, and I was not. I had no idea what I was doing. I had a borrowed rifle. I had my old Navy mummy bag, you know, and that's all I had. I had no equipment. I didn't know anything about hunting, but I started getting around people that knew about it. And there was this old man, he was about 88 years old, and he was a hunting guide. He was introduced to me by another hunting guide, this friend of mine, and he befriended me, and he would take me up to the Hemis Mountains there in Ponderosa, and he introduced me to this 88-year-old man, and I asked this man, what advice can you give me? What can you give me that would make me a great hunter, that would help me be successful when I hunt? And he said this. He goes, you are going to miss 90% of the deer that are out there. You're going to miss 90% because of your vision, because you can't see them. He says, but if you'll open your eyes and you'll train your eyes to see, he says, you'll begin to get that percentile where you'll be able to see 50 to 60% of what's out there instead of just 10%. He goes, it's all about training your eyes to look. So he took me on a few road trips through the mountains. And in that time, I had been through those same mountains and never saw a buck, a male deer with horns, never saw one. But on that trip, on the first day, I saw 3 bucks because of the way he looked, the way he trained me where to look and how to look. And from that point on, I began to hone that craft. And I believe, I take a lot of pride in saying that when I get out there, I said, Barb, keep your eyes peeled. We're just driving through the mountains, not even hunting. And then we'll see deer, we'll see animals over here because we've trained our eyes to see that. And you know what? I took that and I said, Lord, I want, now that I'm saved, I want to be able to see what is going on with the things of God. I want to be able to see people. I don't want to just see what's in front of me, but I want to see what's over there. I don't want to just see what's over there. I want to see what's right in front of me, because sometimes we see all the masses, but we forget that one that's right there. See? One of the greatest examples of somebody that had to go through seasons was Peter. You look at Peter's life, and he could not perceive what was inside of him. Yet Jesus tells him, Peter, upon your life, you are the rock, and upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. He couldn't see it. And I think about how argumentative he was with Jesus. He fought Jesus every time. Every time Jesus talked to him, the reed that he was, the hard-headed guy that he was, he couldn't see what Jesus saw in him. Even when he was walking on the water, and he walked in the water and he stepped out in the water, he still didn't know what was inside of him. That's why he sunk. Once he looked at the circumstances, and Jesus said to him, "Man, if you know what, look, come to me, come to me." Because Jesus knew what was inside of him, that he had the faith to begin the church and to create something that would last up to right now, that has been over 2,000 years later. We're still building on what he built during that time. Think about that. Jesus said, I want to use your life. You got what it takes inside of you. What's inside of you is explosive. And we know the story. Peter just continued to be a reed when Jesus tried to wash his feet. Don't wash my feet. Man, if you're going to wash my feet, wash all of me. Imagine how argumentative and even to the point of disrespectful he was to the Son of the living God. And Peter didn't understand that the moment that Jesus called him by the sea, when he said, come, he goes, I'm going to make you now a fisher of men. From that moment, Peter went from a season of being a fisherman into a season of being a disciple. And that disciple, that thing just went from one minute to the next. And I remember when I came into to Jesus. I remember when I got saved and I came into the church. It was like from day and night. The guys at the firehouse, they knew. I walked into a whole new season. One day I was this guy, and the very next day I was a different person. And what happens to us is sometimes we don't see the season we're going into because we can't see good. And God wants you to begin in this new season. Requires new vision. It requires some new look. You have to be able to train yourself to see what God is doing in this next season. See, when Peter finally saw, think about it. It took a series of things, a series of challenges. His calling, his process, led him to every season, to the point where even the season where he was taken to be crucified, by the time he was about to be crucified, he finally could see. He said, don't you dare hang me on the cross like you did my Lord. Put me upside down. I don't deserve to die like he died. See, Peter, what an example of seasons. Now this word addresses three points. I'm only going to do maybe one or two of them, and you come back next week for the rest. But this word addresses the points of every believer, every Christian's encounter when we step into new seasons. God's getting ready to take you to new seasons. As I was in prayer last night, my daughter Jen's here as well. And where are you, Jen? So I want you to know that she came in last night late, about 12:30, quarter to one. And so I was praying before I picked her up, and I was praying. I was getting ready for this message. And we had a long day yesterday, but I was just in the presence, God. I had music playing. I was just there, my couch, just on my knees, just praying. And God began to speak to me. God began to put your face before me, James. He says, James and Betty are not here by coincidence today. I'm getting ready to take them into a new season. You're just so faithful. You guys are so faithful. You just do and every day, same thing. Years now. And sometimes you don't even see that God's getting ready to take you into a new season. And then I begin to see you, Ronnie and Naomi. You guys have been in a season. God has taken you to a great season. God says, I'm getting ready to take you into a new season. And I begin to think of many of you, Mark, all of you, all our leaders. I begin to see all the leaders before my eyes. I begin to see some of the people that came yesterday that I hadn't seen in a while. And I begin to think about, you know what? This is a word that needs to be spoken, because if you can perceive, if you can start seeing what God wants to do in your life, you're going to see and you're going to move with it. But if you don't see it, you're going to stay in the same place, doing the same thing and getting the same result, not moving forward, just being right there. That's good. It's a good place to be right there. But God says, I want you to take another step out. And you can't take a step out because you can't see. Peter, he didn't see the water when he stepped out. At first, they said, oh, the storm. And the moment said, Come to me, Jesus said. The moment he did that, he took his eyes off of everything, and all he saw was his destiny. All he saw was the future. All he saw was the new season. All he saw was Jesus. And man, the moment he took his eyes off of that and saw what was in front of him right here, he began to sink. But oh, thank God when we sink and we fail, aren't you glad that God is able to grab our hand and pull us up out of the place, that dark place where the enemy attempts to drown us, to take us out? Aren't you glad that God is able to reach to anybody, anytime, no matter what you've done or where you've been? Aren't you glad that we serve a Savior that went to the cross and paid the price for us so that we would not have to pay it? See, we owed a debt that we couldn't pay, and he paid a debt that he didn't owe. And that debt, my friend, was my sins and your sins. And because of that, he came and didn't just redeem us. He didn't just save us and then we just fend for ourselves. He did something more than that. He saved us, and he wants to give you a life, a kind of life that is blessed. He is in covenant with you. He has made a contract with you in your life. All you have to do is sign. All you got to do is sign up in the covenant. All you got to do is believe the covenant and walk in the covenant. And the moment you do that, you're going to begin to see the seasons that God puts in your lives are all for a purpose. There was so much purpose for Peter's life. He felt like an utter failure. Think about that. Think about that when he denied Christ. Here Jesus is telling him, you're the man. You're going to do this, man, upon your life, man. Things are going to happen. And he tells him, but you got to go through a process. And you're going to deny me 3 times. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'll die for you. I'll go to prison for you. And oh, what a sad feeling when that sound of ooh, ooh, ooh. When that rooster crow, man. The Bible says he walked away and wept bitterly. Didn't that feel like that? Have you ever been like that? I've been like that. Wept bitterly. But I want you to know, ooh, on the third day, when Mary was at the tomb, listen what Jesus said. He didn't say, see, I told you guys I was going to raise. He go call them disciples. Them guys, man, left my side, man. They're not even faithful. Go get them so they can see. Look. He didn't do that. He says, go find Peter. Go tell Peter that I'm alive. Tell him I want to meet with him. Tell him it's not over. Yeah, he denied me, but I knew he would. See, God knows where you're at. He knows where you've been. He knows where you're going. But he said, I know he denied me, but go call Peter. Let him know that it's me, that it's Jesus, his Lord, his discipler, man. And he went and found him, and Peter came running, and he just assured him. He said, listen, there's a process. This is the new season I was trying to tell you about, but you couldn't see it. All you saw was failure. All you saw was this. All you saw was these things that were circumstances beyond your control and some that you created. But even the ones you created, I'll come and turn those around for you. And the ones that you did not create, they were just part of the sanding down of your character. And I just wanted to change you a little bit. I wanted to teach you how that when you do get notoriety, that you will not be prideful and that you will allow me to rule your life and your heart and not your own talents. And Peter went to talk to him, and he appeared to them. He looked at them. Imagine how humble he was. He never says again that he argued with Jesus again. Paul did when he first got saved. Who are you? Why are you doing this to me? He said, I'm Jesus, man. Why are you persecuting me? And then after that, he was humble. Something about humbling yourself to God. And so Peter, let me just begin to land as you come to the keyboard. We're going to have an altar call today. It's going to be a different type of altar call. I got 3 points and a poem for you next week if you want them. Okay? But today, God wants to anoint you in a new season. I want you to turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. It's your new season. Now I want you to make it personal. Say, you know what? Don't. It's my new season. Come on. Take it. Come on. It's my new season. You're not being selfish. You're not being selfish when you say, it's my new season. There's a new season for you, Joe. There's a new season coming. New season. You might think it's over. Some of you guys and girls that maybe you kind of messed up, you left the home early. Say, oh, man, nobody just looks at me. No, that's part of life. What you do from here on out is who you are. Amen? See, when Peter denied Jesus, he denied him as a part of the process. He had to get all that out of him so that God could show him who he really was. What was inside of him was clouding what God had put there. There was an explosive presence and anointing on his life, but all the stuff that was in him, all the denial, all the argument, all the pride, when God got that out, then Peter could see. That's all he's looking for is from us. He wants to bless your life in such a way that you can't even believe. See, this new season, see, God is a God of seasons. The Israelites were in a season. Then they were in another season. Then they went to another season. And their whole journey was a total, complete sense of season, season, season. Your life is a total, complete time of seasons. Think about just 10 years ago. We talked a lot of memories the last couple of days, Ronnie. James as well. A lot of memories. Talked about, hey, remember when this happened? Remember we did this? We talked about the crusade that happened 20 years ago, 20-some years ago. Talked about memories. And we said, wow, has that much time already passed so fast? Man? So fast that you and Charles were riding on that same crusade. The next year, you guys were riding a 53 Chevy with guns and the thing. They had these rifles in the 53 Chevy, and they were driving around UNM. And I thought to myself, don't those guys have like records? If the cops stop them with those guns, they're going to take them to prison. We didn't have no cell phones. We just said, go find those guys and tell them to get into the stadium. Has that time passed so fast that we have not seen it? You see, it passes so fast, we don't see that. But what's bad is when we don't see what's coming. See, there's something about all these hunters in our church that we go hunting together. 4 months, 3 months before, we're already seeing. There's this thing about us, our hearts going. We're on Instagram, looking at deer, fish. We're already looking because we already have expectation that when November comes, this car show, I've had my eyes on it since January. Even last November, we were planning, just looking at it. Said, I can't wait to see who gets saved. Oh, I'm not worried about if thousands or hundreds get saved. I'm just worried that somebody gets saved. And what's amazing is we can't even count the amount of people you all have led to the Lord when you've been on the streets just inviting them to the car show. They never even went to the car show, but they wept and broke on the street corner or in a parking lot someplace at a grocery store when you ministered to them. And you told them about Jesus. We serve a God of seasons. And if you can understand today, if you can look, I'll give you one final example. We were in New York City just last month to Philadelphia to minister. Spent a couple of days in New York City. While we were there, we went to this really good breakfast place. It's right in Manhattan. It's a breakfast joint. I love good breakfast joints, right? We go to this place. We sit down, and we're eating, and then there's some things missing here. And I'm trying to get the waitress' attention, and I don't like to go like this, you know? Kind of a little bit. I just kind of like eye contact maybe more. In fact, etiquette is really don't do that. That's like summon you. I summon you. No, really, honestly, that's. So you want to just kind of look. And so she wasn't looking. She passed by us 3 or 4 times, and my wife is still waiting for coffee, and I'm still waiting for some stuff. And I'm like, been away from Albuquerque for almost 2 weeks, 5 days, and I need some chili, so give me some hot sauce, anything. And I'm just trying to get look like that. And nothing. And then there's some people that are frustrated with her, and they called the manager over there, the same lady, and back and forth like that. So we're just being patient. We're trying to eat slow, and we're just there. And I'm looking, and this lady can't see us. She's walking closer than these guys in the front row to us. Three times, I've looked at her like, and she didn't. I think one time I said, excuse me, and she's still just walking back and forth. Couldn't see us. She couldn't see us. So I was getting a little frustrated, and I didn't want to get up or anything, but I just looked across the room to see, and I saw a lady that was looking around like this. And then she looked at me, and I looked at her, and I go, from way across the room, out of the, almost past the front doors. I looked at her like that. She looked at me, and she goes, and she came. Excuse me, can I help you? And I said, we're just waiting a few items. I told the items, we're waiting for the coffee. She goes, I'm sorry, who's your waitress? I said, she's right there. And then she goes, oh. I go, I don't, can we just get that stuff? We got to go. So she came and make sure we got the stuff. The moral of the story is this. That God puts everything for us there. And all we see is through hurt, the eyes of hurt. All we see is through the eyes of pride. All we see is through the eyes of mediocrity. All we see is through the eyes of pain. And you know what? You've been drinking that pain too long. You've been eating that spirit that just drains you. You can't see anybody. All you bear on is what was not good, and you don't have one. You can't see anything that's good in it. They're not realizing that God allows you. You know, Ronnie said a profound statement. It's not easy to be a pastor, but you know what? I thank God for all the trials I've been through because they've made me the man I am. I'll never forget Pastor Sonny telling me, what do you think, that everybody's going to like you and everything's going to be perfect? No, but not everybody likes me. And I said, who doesn't like you? A lot of people don't like me. And he goes, you have to live with that. He says, that's part of the process. He says, people pick up your church that don't like you. And I said, well, I'm a nice guy. He says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He says, and I get this from that, is that you're not responsible for what people do to you. You are only responsible on what you do. You are only responsible. And the season you've been in, if you've been in a season of pain and hurt, then you know what? You need to come out of that season because now you're not just being hurt. Now you might be hurting people. And God is saying, come out of that because I got more for you. I want to bless your life, but I can't bless you with what's in your heart. I want to bless your marriage, but I can't bless what's in your heart. I want to bless your income, but I can't bless it because you haven't been able to see what I put in your hand. I have put in your hand something so special, but you don't think it's enough. And God has said, if you'll be faithful what's just in your hand, I will give you what you need for your future plans. Listen to me. Stand to your feet this morning, and I want you to put your hands up in the air, and I want you to say, I am walking into a new season. I am walking into a new season. Now I want you to put your hands on your heart. Come on, put your hands on your heart, and I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to close them, and I want you to say, I'm walking into a new season. So Lord, take every cup of whatever is in this heart and pour it out so there'll be room for what you want to give me in my new season. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift those hands. Lift those hands. See, lift them. Keep them lifted. I want you to keep your eyes closed for a few moments. I want you to think about something. Jesus told Peter, go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait for me. I'm going to send you a helper. The Bible says that Peter and 119 other people were in the upper room with expectation now. Instead of him not seeing, now he could see what Jesus wanted to do. And they were in that room with a sense of expectation, waiting on the Holy Ghost, waiting on the Helper, waiting on the Comforter, waiting on the third part of the party of God. And they were waiting. And the Bible says it was like the sound of a mighty rushing wind that hit that room. And in that room, they began to speak in other languages. And the Spirit of the Lord fell. And the church went into a brand new season. They went from defeat to victory. They went from what they could not see to now seeing hope for the future. They went from not feeling the anointing because Jesus had been buried and he was the anointing, to now being filled with the anointing and filled with the power of God and filled with his anointing. And I want you to know that Peter that next day went out into Jerusalem and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to hundreds and even thousands of people. And on that day, the Bible says that the 3,000 people came to the Lord. Why? Because Peter walked into his new season. You're going to walk out of this room today with a new season, and everything you touch, God is going to bless. Everything you've decided that you are not going to hold on to, God is going to replace it with what you need for the new season. But if, my friend, if you try to go into this next season of your life holding on to what the enemy has built up in you, all the crust and all the stuff, then you're not going to be able to experience what God wants for you in the future. God is saying, you leave that junk at the altar today, and before you leave this altar, I am going to fill you with what you need in your new season. Everybody in this room, you walk through the doors of this house, and God said, I am taking these people into a new season of their life. It doesn't matter where you were at before you got to church. It don't matter where you were at last week. It doesn't matter, because you know what? God says, I got something fresh. I'm going to put a fresh anointing on you. I'm going to put a fresh song, a new song in your heart. I'm going to take what was old and make it new. I'm going to take what the enemy tried to change, and I'm going to let you see what I have for you. A new season. A new season. And I want to ask them to sing this song.
New season.
And as they sing this song,
it's a new,
if you
day,
say, Pastor, I'm tired of being in this season where I'm at. I'm not drinking that stuff anymore. I am not going to stay in the same mentality anymore. But I want to join in covenant with what God has for me. I want to be used mightily for the season that Victory Outreach International is in. I want to walk into that season so that I can be used mightily for God. Come on, come and leave at this altar what doesn't belong in your heart. And you come, for those of you who said, I have already done that. But then you come and you get this fresh anointing. You get this fresh season in your life. And you watch what God does. Come on, from all over this place.
It's a new season. It's coming to me.
Lift your voices and say, hey.
It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing.
Blowing my way.
Blowing my way.
Come on, if you need a fresh anointing on your life.
It's a season of,
if you're tired
power
of being stuck in the same season. Then today's your day. This is your day.
It's a new season.
Let God put a fresh anointing on you.
Oh. It's a new season.
It's a new day.
It's a new day.
Oh, there it is. There it is. There it is. There it is.
Children shall be free.
It's a new season. It's a new season.
If you don't know by now, you need to know it's Jubilee. All debts are canceled and the children walk in victory. It's all available to you right now. Just taste and see. It's a new season.
It's a new season.
It's a new season.
Come on, lift your hands.
It's a new day.
Lift them, lift them, lift them.